The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, after overcoming many challenges in her life, Lisa Osteen Comas, the sister of Pastor Joel Osteen, was nearly killed when a mail bomb exploded in her lap.
When I picked up this one box, it was heavy, and I didn't know what it was. Put it in my lap, sort of like a shoebox, sideways. And when I lifted the last piece of tape on that, it just exploded in my lap.
Her inspiring story of hope and optimism, next.
It's such a joy to be with you and to come in your home. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I feel blessed to be with you and to have wonderful guests. I mean, I think most of you have, kind of enjoyed watching a real phenomenon in our day, and that's the ministry that God raised up. And it's such a God thing, and nobody knows it any better than Joel does. But Joel Osteen's ministry, it's really a supernatural miracle of God's grace and the love and the encouragement that comes from him. I'm smiling now just thinking about him smiling. You can't hardly say Joel or think about Joel and not smile. I think Joel might smile when he cries. But there's a real joy there that we desperately need that only God can give us in these challenging times. And he and Victoria are a blessing. But see, I've known John and Doty back when John was leading Lakewood. That's Joel's pastor, if you don't know. And Doty's just such a beautiful, beautiful person. And what a pastor's wife. And what a church leader. What an example of the grace and mighty healing power of God. But this whole family is wonderful. And we've got a guest. You talk about beautiful. And I'm telling you what, Joel, I'm sorry, but you got shortchanged right here. this is Lisa Osteen Comas. And she is absolutely a beautiful person. Now, we could have lost her because a mail bomb was delivered that she just happened to be the one to get out of the mailbox. And this is the story that she waited a long time to write. The title, You Are Made for More. Made for More. All of the people who have endorsed this and been blessed by it, from Joyce Meyer to Bishop T.D. Jakes, and of all people, Donald Trump. You know, you say, well, why would he endorse it? Because, listen, people are searching. They're searching for something more. And I believe that Lisa's going to talk about that explosion, but she's going to talk about the lessons she learned that perhaps were far more important even than any that she learned then. Would you welcome Lisa Osteen to
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And your name is Comas. I'm getting
Comas.
A little...
Comas? That's
the
okay.
last name is Comas.
It's
I bet
Comas.
It's misspelled. Mine, I mean, mispronounced.
I'm it is a lot, but I don't care. Well, just call me Lisa.
I'm Robinson and Robeson. And
that's right.
Tell us about why you finally wrote the book. I mean, I'm really interested because, you know, you waited quite a while. How long ago
I
was
did,
the explosion? How many years back?
That was 21 years ago. And I wanted to write it, and I kept thinking now is the time, and it wasn't. And the last time I really asked the Lord, Lord, when do you want me to write this book? He said, I have one more chapter for you to write. And I just waited, and I didn't know what he meant by that, but within the next 2 years, I went through some things, and I was able to know what that chapter was, and it was the book on what to do when you fail. Because there's so many believers that fall in life. They sin, they're addicted to different habits, and they don't know how to get out. And they're ashamed, you know, they feel guilty, they feel condemned. And the last thing they want to do is go back to the church and say, look, I'm struggling with this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're all about this, James and Betty, and I am too, that the church is not a museum to display perfect people, but it's a hospital for the hurting.
Yes. Yes,
and we need to know that when we fall, you know, that Jesus is right there for us and that we can be restored and we can recover and we can go move on forward into our destiny. And I think also that we as believers need to get more mature in this area, and we need to reach out to the fallen in a different way. Not, you know, I think sometimes we have this religious attitude where we want to judge, we want to condemn, and we want to throw stones, and we want to gossip. But the truth is, if we want to be like Jesus, we need to reach out just like Jesus did, lift the fallen, encourage them, love them, and say, what can I do to help you get back on your feet? And think about this, you know, sometimes we're so easy to forgive the sinner. You know, they may have done terrible things, but they come to the Lord and, oh, it's all past. But then a believer falls and does something, we just want to throw stones at them.
Well, we do.
And I think that we
kick
have
the
to...
dirt in on them.
That's
while
right.
they're in the pit.
That's
and
right.
really, this is really a shame because when a person fails, they feel ashamed. You say, well, they should. They should. See, I got that religious problem. Well, they should. Shame on you. But God is saying, I took the shame.
Yes.
You know, Jesus, for the joy, endured. He could see the joy of what grace will do. He endured the cross.
That's right.
Because he could see what the application of that grace does. Mm-hmm. I think it was very important, especially in this day and time, that you waited to write that chapter. And I think really the beautiful thing is, Lisa, I don't think it was written so much because of your failure. I think you could say, I got plenty, and I would want to be able to tell you and you not make me feel bad if I told you. That's what I'd like. But I really believe you looked out and you were waiting on God and you said you saw all these people hurting.
Yeah.
And you saw how desperately they need our help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for writing.
Yeah, well, thank you. As one of the pastors at Lakewood, you know, you just deal with these brokenhearted people. And they're just, they need someone to reach out to them. They've been burned, you know, at different places, different believers. And you know what? They just need to know they can come to the church and get healing.
And I think we see that when we look at the congregation. You know, I look at Joel and Victoria and they're both just radiantly attractive. You are radiantly attractive.
Oh, thank
you. But you let me tell you what really blesses me? I love the way the church is lit. I actually told some of the technicians, you've lit it just beautifully. You've been very, very effective. But what I love is when I see the faces. I see hungry people.
Yes.
I see appreciative people. I see radiant people. I see people that were probably broken, and now they've been put back together. I want you to tell us about the experience, though, that you kind of held back talking about when you went out to the mailbox. Tell us about that day that really set up really the journey that you've been on and what happened.
Well, it was on January 30th, 1990, and I opened my parents' personal mail for them all the time. And I received this box this one day, went into the office about 10. But what's interesting, before I went into the office that day, I had on a little cotton skirt. But as I touched the door, going out the door, something just said, you know, change. And I thought, I don't like what I have on. And I went and changed and put on a leather outfit. It was in back then, you know. But anyway, when I picked up this one box, it was heavy. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't suspect anything wrong. And I put it down 3 times. But finally, I just was curious and put it in my lap, sort of like a shoebox, sideways. And when I lifted the last piece of tape on that, it just exploded in my lap. Mm. And that was the last thing I could remember for a few seconds. I was sitting, and then the next thing I knew, I was standing and I was shaking like I had been electrocuted. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, am I dying? Is this death? And as soon as I said that, I came to my senses and I looked down. I didn't even know how I got out of my chair, and my clothes were smoldering. And I ran out of the room and I asked for help, and I said, a bomb has exploded in my lap. And of course, they took care of me. They took care of me, got me to the hospital. I did have surgery. I was in the hospital for 13 days because I had a hole in my leg and holes in my abdomen. The miracle is the way I held that, those 10-inch nails, that shrapnel just shredded my desk and the wall. It could have shredded my body. The paramedic on duty.
It could have penetrated every vital organ.
Yeah.
Had it just been turned slightly, and the leather dress had something to do with protecting you.
It sure did. And the paramedics told my dad, somebody had to be standing between you and your daughter because there's no way she could have escaped that.
Wow.
And so God did such a great miracle for me. And it, you know, went all over the Houston and all over headline news.
Well, it did, and we prayed for you. We were shocked, and I think all of us in ministry probably kind of went on guard wondering what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is it that's angry at somebody in the church? All right, you're made for more. What does that mean to you? You're made for more.
I believe that God made us on purpose and for a purpose, and He has a destiny for us to fulfill. And the Bible says that when we were in our mother's womb, He formed us, and every day written for us, we're written in His book. And so God has a book written about us. We have a purpose and a destiny, and these trials come into our life, and sometimes they stop us. Just in our tracks, we get stuck in
Absolutely.
An event. And
you get stuck at almost an age in your life.
Yes.
And eventually certain things happen, it's almost like people can't get out of that particular place.
That's so true. But you know what? God made us for more than just being stuck. He made us to fulfill our destiny. He has more to do inside of us, and He has more for us to offer to people around us, because He not only wants us to get through, He wants us to turn around and be a blessing to other people.
You know, one of the things that I think many people might be surprised about, but you share it quite openly in the book. And by the way, this is a treasure. One of the things that you share, many people have experienced, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And a lot of people wouldn't know that.
Well, I know. And, you know, I say often that this was a literal bomb in my life, but people have bombs going off in their life all the time. A divorce, loss of a loved one, you know, losing a child. And so there are bombs in our life that we all have to deal with. And when I was in my early 20s, you know, I married a minister, thought I'd be married forever and just excited about the ministry. But, you know, he sort of deceived me. He sent me home and he sent me divorce papers in the mail. And it really devastated me. And I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I had a wonderful wedding and had to go back home defeated, live in my old childhood bedroom. But, you know, I found out during that time, after I lived in self-pity for a few weeks and cried my eyes out, I realized that, you know what, it wasn't worth living in self-pity. And that just because I had gone through this tragic event didn't mean that my life was over. And that I just had to realize that God still had a plan for me. And I, you know, in those few weeks, I thought, you know, my life is over. It looks hopeless. I'll never get into the perfect will of God. But you know what? That's just hopeless thinking from Satan, our enemy.
Yeah, none of that's true.
The fact is that God still has a plan.
Absolutely.
And He knows how to get you through that tragedy, and He can heal you. He healed my broken heart. I mean, that scripture became so real. I cried out to God and I said, God, I want to go forward, but how do I go forward when I'm full of hurt? But Your Word says You heal the brokenhearted and You bind up our wounds. And I said, God, I got to have You do that for me. And the night I prayed that, nothing really happened. But the next morning when I got up and I walked outside, I'll never forget it. It's like God just touched me. And all of a sudden, I felt His presence and that heaviness and that oppression lifted off of me. And He literally healed my broken heart. It's like He did surgery in me. And there was a change. There was a difference. And I went on with my life. And I began to...
If somebody watching right now, Lisa, says, okay, what exactly happened inside of your heart that caused that lifting? Did you just say something? Did you think something? It's because they want to know, what is there something I can say or do or just grasp that that'll happen to me?
I simply got on my face before the Lord the night before in a hotel and said, God, I can't live like this. I want to go on. I need Your help. That's all I said.
And did you believe He was able to help you?
I did. And even though nothing happened right then, but that's the way it is so many times. It doesn't happen overnight.
It's not a feeling necessarily.
It's not a feeling. But when I stepped out, I didn't do anything. It's just that God chose that moment to answer my prayer. And it was a literal lifting. I think a depression left from me, that brokenness inside of me left, and I felt like I can breathe again. I felt a literal touch from God. It was powerful.
And it can be a quick fix. Because we like quick fixes. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, isn't it more of a walk? It's a journey.
Because
I found in my own life as I look back, God, I'd have missed so much if I hadn't waited on Him to help me take each step.
Yes.
And coming out and, as you said, getting unstuck.
Yes. And you know what? I guess that's maybe that's a better answer to your prayer. This didn't happen overnight. It was for weeks of me just talking to the Lord, walking out the Word of God, saying, God, I know You have a great plan for my life, even though my life looks like a mess right now. I kept going to church. I kept just filling myself with the Word of God, even though I didn't want to. I didn't feel like getting up in the morning. And at night, I couldn't sleep. I was just depressed. But I just kept doing what I knew to do. Mm-hmm. And then I just cried out to God and asked Him to heal me, and He did. And so it wasn't just an overnight thing. It's just sticking with the Lord. Sticking with the Lord. Don't turn your back on Him, because He's going to bring you through.
The journey is the goal. I had a wonderful friend, you may have known him, John Wimber, who said the journey is the goal. Mm-hmm. And you just said, you know, we finished the course. I was out at Eagle Mountain Church, and some of the pastor was here tonight in our taping, and I heard Jesse Duplantis say, you know, when they set out on the course, the one Paul said, I finished my course, you don't always know where that course is going. Mm-hmm. You just know who's leading and who's taking. Mm-hmm. Just go with him.
That's
and
right.
trust him. That's you know, I really believe that you have... have really, I think, opened, I would say, hearts and eyes by being so open and honest mm-hmm. about your own journey.
Thank
and
you.
Then even saying, you know, I had to wait until that one more chapter. Mm-hmm. And even though you saw those points where you say, okay, I failed mm-hmm. and I needed love, but I believe you had observed so many people who felt like they had failed and they were hopeless
right.
that you had to write that chapter. I think the whole book, this is so good, you can identify with her. You can tell, you know what, I believe she loves the Lord. I believe Lisa would love me and help me, and you're right. Well, that's what she's trying to do because she can't sit and talk to all of us. She's got us right now where we can listen, but she's written something about this journey that would be a real big help to you. Father, I just pray for broken hearts, for people who feel like they're stuck. Lord, for people who've had a separation, a divorce. It's like a death. Sometimes they feel death would be more easy to bear. Lord, would you lift that load?
Yes.
Would you heal the hurt and the broken heart? And would you show them that there is so much more and help them on their journey? In Jesus' name, if you want someone to pray with you, there's a number. It's paid for by love. You call, you'll find someone anxious to share with you. They will bear your burden. They'll take it to the Lord with you. The book is in the bookstores. Do you have a website if people want to see things that you have to share?
What would they look like? LisaComas.com.
All right. And there it is. You can see it on the screen. And you may want to say, you know what, does she go anywhere and speak out some other places and find out exactly what God is leading her to do? Get the book. Would you just say thanks to Lisa for blessing us so much?
Thank you so much.
Your family is a blessing. You give our regards to the entire church family at Lakewood, and just know that we're praying for you. Your dad blessed me and Betty. I think it wasn't too long before he left us. He called and he said, James, I want you to know I am, and John Osteen was, I'm a mission pastor. I got a heart for missions. And he said, you and Betty have brought the mission fields of the world into our homes, and I want to thank you. That was one of the most encouraging calls I ever got. Because, see, the thing that got us in missions was we went and we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And we not only saw their compassion, Lisa, we not only saw their love, and we not only saw the need,
mm-hmm.
we saw the impact and the transforming power of love released when you're not empty-handed. Missionaries' hearts were full, but often they had so little to offer. And you have enabled them. Thank you. The missionaries tell us you're the greatest Christians on the earth. I tell them, we tell you, the missionaries are the guy. They say the ones that enable us. Would you help us rescue precious children that are going to be taken into the sex trade as prisoners? Build a center? Rescue their lives? Would you help us do that? I want you to watch closely. Because I think you're going to reach out and say, you know what? I'm going to put love in action. I'm going to enable those missionaries. And I'm going to see lives changed. That's what we do together. Watch closely.
Our missionary partners in Nepal are motivated by love as they seek to reach children who are at risk of being trafficked into the sex slave trade. Knowing that children are literally trafficked every day motivates them to travel into the far reaches of remote mountain areas and down to the depths of the city slums.
We work together here. This is Druba, and we come out to these slums with our team and try to go out and help all of these children that right now are in danger of being trafficked.
This day was no exception for our team as they learned about a mother named Suma and her daughter Sheeta, who are in a battle to survive, not only grinding poverty, but the dangers of human traffickers.
Suma and Sheeta are just barely surviving. It's freezing here. Their conditions are so horrible. Suma, the mother, is forced to sell herself. She's been selling herself every night to traffickers in the slum area just to be able to provide something to eat for little Sheeta. And the traffickers have already asked the mother if they could take her. At any moment, these traffickers could come through and steal Sheeta from her, and she'll never see her again. And this mother is crying out to us to help her, to take her little girl and put her somewhere safe. And my terror is that I'm gonna come back here and walk through that slum, and I'm gonna find Suma, and I'm not gonna see Sheetha anymore. And if we can just go in there and provide a safe home for her, we will see her again.
Betty, can you imagine a mother saying, please come take my child because some predator's gonna get my child?
The desperation of it, and what mother would want their child taken from them, but she knows the danger and what can happen to her, that she'll be taken away from her and put into this lifestyle, that the poor thing will just be abused and mistreated and taken advantage of and never have a life that a child should have.
Well, I'm just asking you to be an answer to the heart cry of that mother. We want to provide a life center, a haven, a safe, secure place in Nepal, which is where children are most vulnerable because of poverty, to be taken as a prisoner, taken into India, and used as a sex slave all their life. We're asking you to help us build that life center. We need over $200,000. There could be 200 people watching today that would say, I will give $1,000. Let me tell you some good news. Your gift will actually be matched that you give today. It'll be doubled. We're asking many of you to help us rescue hundreds and hundreds of children out of the sex trade, women out of the sex trade. We're actually putting them to work where they're making beautiful necklaces and giving them a trade, and they are so thankful. We want to send one of these necklaces to you if you'll make a gift to help rescue someone to say thank you. We're asking you to make a gift of $128 because that's the average it costs to rescue someone out of the sex trade. And then we want to build the life center. So we've got two goals: rescue as many as we can, build a life center where we can help rescue little children, just like the one you heard the mother talking about. Give them a home. Give them a safe haven. Would you help us do that? Father, I pray every person watching, please, Lord, touch their heart to move. May they be moved with your compassion and reach out and touch someone with your love. In Jesus' name, your gift will give someone a chance. Would you take your bank card as you dial that number? Would you make a gift to help us build that life center? Would you make a gift to help us rescue one of those precious people or children, one of those women? Your gift will be doubled. That means a $64 gift will reach the $128 that's needed. Would you please make that call? We're going to send you the book, Indivisible, that I really believe everything you care about, that you're concerned about, is addressed with answers and direction from God. I really do believe that. We want to send it to you to say thank you. Encourage others to get a copy, your pastors, your leaders, your church families, and your friends. We'll be sending the beautiful Lion and the Lamb bronze to those of you who will help us build that life center. Thank you for making the call. You can go online, lifetoday.org, if you'd like, and make the gift God puts on your heart. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who are survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
know, if you walk around the streets of India, there's tons of people, but you'll very rarely see little girls, because by the time they reach 2 or 3, they're taken and they're trafficked into the red light district. You know, I was talking to some of the little girls before. They told me that men that should have seen me as a child were abusing me and doing terrible things to me. They told me of stories of girls that they knew in the area that had been murdered there. I was horrified when I learned that over 1 million children are trafficked every year. That's 2 children per minute. That's unacceptable. We cannot live in a world that tolerates that. It's there because we tolerate it. You know, we have an opportunity to come in and help. We have an opportunity to stand in the gap and stand for these daughters. These daughters don't have fathers that stand up for them. They don't have men and women that stand up and say, this is wrong. And we have an opportunity to do that. Please, if you can, right now, go to your phone or go to the internet and make the best donation that you can. By doing that, you will be saving lives of girls all over the world who don't stand a chance without you.
I really would like to send you the lion and the lamb bronze. I know some of you have heard me teasing. I know this day will come, but I've been teasing. And I'd like to have enough inspiration to just get the elephant to lie down with the donkey. Wouldn't that be a nice inspirational moment? Someday this will happen, and we've got the lamb and the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. We want to send this to say thank you if you'll help us build that Life Center. We're sending Indivisible for any gift and the beautiful necklaces to say thank you. And then I want to remind you of our beautiful guest, wonderful story. You were made for more. God made you for more than you ever imagined. Get the book. Pass it on. Experience what she's talking about. Join us saying thanks to Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Osteen Comas for being with us.
Love y'all so much.
Love you, buddy. Thank all of you for giving us this opportunity to share. You are really a blessing.
Stand here till somebody gets a word, because I'm going to tell you something. Many of us have been disabled by our past actions.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.